Welcome to the
Idiot
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 4 of E4 2021. In this episode, we're going to take a look at some of the other shows that may not get as much publicity, but we actually really love this year. So look at the PC Gaming Show, the Future Game Show, and the Wholesome Direct, which was interesting in its own right. But specifically the Future Game Show was great.
We were grumpy earlier, okay? Very grumpy earlier, very curmudgeon-y earlier. We were down on things. We might have been slightly suicidal. but we're not anymore because the Future Game Show was great.
Yeah.
Can we start with the host, please?
Yeah.
Because Troy Baker is fabulous in everything he does, and obviously he knows how to do this.
Yeah.
And then Laura Bailey.
Yeah,
she is my new favorite person. I'm going to stalk her on Twitter because she's super cute.
Yeah, they were great choices. So, of course, both very well known voice actors in video games. Laura Bailey was Abby in The Last of Us. Was MJ in Spider-Man?
Right.
Was in Gears of War? Was tons of things. Troy Baker. Is everywhere, including Joel in The Last of Us, but everywhere does all kinds of voice work, which is amazing. And the fact that they are both professional voice actors and immersed in the world of video games made it so that the presentation wasn't sterile, which happens a lot of times.
Right.
We just got finished watching Capcom. That was a great presentation. But they know how to present. They know how to talk into a microphone.
And they were funny.
And they knew about games, and they were excited. And it just, they did a really good job. The presentation for the whole thing was really great.
And look, they're two extraordinarily likable people, and that cannot be overstated.
Yeah.
They just are. They're really nice looking, likable people, and they know what they're doing, and it just the whole thing, like, we're blown away for like an hour and a half.
And maybe this is the biggest thing to me, they didn't overdo it, right? Like, it was cheesy at times, but like, can't be cheesy, whatever. We love the PC Game Show. We look forward to the PC Game Show every year. That thing is cheese ball over the top.
Yeah, and it gets worse.
Like, they've got now this, like, whole story thing that they left it as a cliffhanger going into next year, what DevBot is going to do with this stuff. And I get it. Like, you're trying to have fun with it. I don't really, like, bemoan them about that. It's just not really my thing.
I love that you just said bemoan on the show. I guess so.
Yeah.
I like it.
But really, I mean, day 9 is, like, he's fun because he's, like, nerdy and just kind of all over the place. But, man, the ridiculous, like, whatever stuff they're driving around in mechs or in space or...
Really?
Yeah, I don't need that.
And that was the cool thing about this, because it was just their voices with the graphics and the games. That was it.
Yeah.
There was no set. There was no talking heads. It was just their voice.
Yeah.
With all of these trailers and all of this stuff.
And to a bit of a lesser extent, the Wholesome Direct did a really good job with that, too. Of just like these three people that are buddies that hang out, that run this site, apparently. And like, they just came across as, like, just people.
Yeah.
You know, like, not trying super hard.
Like us!
Like us. we think. So, all that said, let's talk about what we saw in these shows. Now, preface here, we're not going to talk about every single game, because there's a couple of hundred games between these three shows, I think. There's a bunch. There was overlap, but there was a ton of stuff. And so we're going to hit some of the highlights, and we may come back and hit a couple of these games at other points. But there's a few I know we're going to spend some time talking about. So let's start with the PC Game Show, and we'll just go through a couple of these that were notable from the PC Game Show. The PC Game Show every year has the kind of knack of being really random, having, like, all the really niche stuff that, like, somebody's going to get really into, And 90% of the rest of the people watching are like, what is this? But then the next thing is exciting for somebody else, you know? And so at some point, like, you get hit with the game that's, like, in your wheelhouse.
Just a real quick example, Chivalry is one of those games.
Yeah. Big deal. We know it's a big deal. It doesn't really intrigue us.
Yep.
I wish it did. Like, I kind of like the concept of it, but I just, yeah, not my thing.
No.
But it's in, you know, the PC game show every year, Killing Floor. It's not a game I really have that much interest in playing, but it's there every year and has a great community of people that are playing it. And so I love to see it in the show because I know people are excited to see it, even if I'm not excited to see it.
And I'm glad that there is that outlet for some of these people. Some of these games that we're going to talk about, we're watching these games going, how do these games get made? Where do these people have money?
Yeah.
There's a couple of them that are just like two people that are a game studio and they're making these games. And I'm going, okay, if they can get money, like, where's our money?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Yeah. So
that's fair. We'll start with Dodgeball Academia.
Yeah.
Which is a fun place to start. It's from Humble Games. Humble obviously develops their own games. They all have a certain kind of feel and style to them, and so it kind of fits into that. Very cartoony. Not entirely sure everything that's going on in this, but it's somewhere between Dodgeball and Pokemon.
Right.
That, like, you're like a school kid having dodgeball battles and also like collecting things.
I'm sorry. Quick aside, did you ever play dodgeball?
I loved dodgeball as a kid. I know this is going to be shocking to you, not athletic as a kid. That was not my strength. But the one thing I was as a kid is I was tiny, which you wouldn't know now. Right? I'm a kind of chunky dude at this point in my life. But when I was in junior high, especially high school, but junior high, that's like when dodgeball is at its like apex.
Right.
I was like the smallest kid in my class. I was short. I was thin. And so dodgeball, I was actually pretty good at, in part just because I was hard to hit, right?
Somebody was like, yo, what's that dude?
Because I would never, like, get people out playing dodgeball. Like, I'm not picking up a ball and chunking it at somebody. But I could just last. And I would hang around until it's, like, me and somebody else. And so I only ever had to eliminate, like, one person. And it was all, you know, like at the end, it was like 50-50 or whatever. Sometimes I won, sometimes I lost. But I would always be one of the last ones there because I was just small and wiry and could just dodge. You know, I was really good at not getting hit by a ball flying at me.
Okay, so quick dodgeball story, because believe it or not, I have a dodgeball story.
I don't want to hear
it. I, when I was that age, obviously in a wheelchair, so they wouldn't allow me to be out there. But if you've ever been to a sporting event with me, and you never have, but when we go, you'll get a kick out of it because I'm a ball magnet, right? Like, it don't matter what sport it is, the ball's coming at my face.
Nice.
Right? And so that there was always dodgeball in PE because you had to have PE, and they wanted me to feel included, like I had to be there. So I'm like sitting on the sideline of the game, and all of a sudden here comes a ball at my face, and I managed to dodge more than a few. Like, I managed to duck, but I also took more than a few. And if you can imagine the horror on the people's faces, because they had me on the side trying to keep me out of it, and I still managed to take some dodgeballs in the face.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a South Park somewhere. Triple taking a dodgeball in the face. That's probably, I haven't seen South Park in a while, but I can imagine Timmy taking a dodgeball in the face.
That would be great. It would be very, very entertaining. So.
Yeah.
So Dodgeball Academia, the benefit of it being a Humble game is that eventually it's going to be on the Humble Choice and we'll get it as part of the subscription to Humble Choices. So we'll play it someday. It's not one that's going to be anytime soon, but someday we'll get a hold of it.
Yeah.
Another one we saw was War Tales, which is a strategy RPG that's in the Middle Ages. After a plague wipes out a bunch of plagues, very big theme at E3 this year, which feels unfortunate. Like, obviously, these games have been in development for a while, and so the timing is, and like, I guess plague games are pretty common. We get, you know, that's a really good starting point for a dystopian story, as a plague has wiped out a lot of people. Yeah. But it just is a little extra uncomfortable this year of like, and then a disease came through and all these people died. And you're like, read the room, guys. Anyway, War Tales is a Middle Ages story about that. But I think interests us in part, you know, kind of medieval thing is cool. But it's this tactical RPG, kind of top down, putting people around, XCOM-ish tactics fighting style. That sounds really fun.
You would actually be a really awesome, like, just like knight that just sort of doesn't do anything. Like, who's the guy? I can't remember the name in Game of Thrones. Sam.
Oh, yeah.
You like Sam? Just show on the armor and stand there. Try it out against water.
There you go. Like, going back to high school, this is not the direction I thought the show was going, of us reminiscing about our school years. But I was obsessed with like knights and castles and all that kind of stuff. And the fact that I'm not more into those games now, you mentioned chivalry. Like, as a teenager, I would have died to play that game. You know, like, it would have been right in my wheelhouse. Right. As I've gotten older, I've lost that a little bit. But yeah, still love a good knight and castle. And
well, you know what part of it is? I'll tell you what part of it is. We were joking about the fact earlier that your watch reminded you that you haven't moved in the last hour.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough when your watch buzzes and says, hey, you realize you have been sitting absolutely still for an hour. Like, you have not taken a single step in an hour.
So that's probably why you're not so much into that.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So we also saw a game called Silt. This is kind of inside slash limbo-ish 2D side scroller kind of thing, but it's underwater. And you're like interacting with like the fish and other things, like you can imbue on them like your spirit or something. I don't know exactly what it is, but you're like taking control of them and getting them to do stuff for you. The style looks very cool because it's very reminiscent of this cool, you know, kind of stylistic 2D scroller, kind of horror-ish. Like, I have a hard time calling those kind of games horror because they don't quite feel like horror games to me. There's not jump scares. It's more thrillers.
It's an exploration, like suspenseful.
Yeah, suspense, thriller kind of thing more than a horror thing. But dark and brooding and that kind of stuff, which is something I actually really dig, I think is pretty cool. And so I think that'll be a fun one. Has a lot of kind of Metroidvania stuff to it as well, which a lot of those too. And then one more we'll mention from the PC game show. Again, there's a billion more games that showed up there. We're not going to hit everything. But this one grabbed our interest too. It's called Sacrifire, like sacrifice, but fire instead of fire. And it's 2D RPG that looks very Octopath, has a very similar style, which is something we've seen in a lot of games, as that kind of interesting perspective 2D whatever that Octopath did really well. This is another one of those, and looks really cool. Doesn't have a release date, probably a billion years away, but stylistically it's in our wheelhouse.
That's one thing about the PC game show that I hate that the future game show did not do.
Yeah, ironically.
Which is that the PC game show shows you this stuff and then you're like, hey, that's really cool. And then they either say it's 3 years away or we don't know when it's coming out. Yeah. The future game show did not do that.
Yeah. Which is cool. So let's jump over to the future game show. And again, despite the name, most of these games are coming this year, which is not something that we can say about a lot of the other stuff that we've seen. A couple of big notable games. Halo is supposedly better come this year. If they don't get Halo out this year, they've got problems. Far Cry's coming this year. What else? Big title games. I don't know, right? Yeah, there's just not a lot that's coming this year. These aren't big title games. These are most of which you've never heard of before. But really cool looking titles that are coming this year. And this may be a really, really great year for indie games. Whenever all the big AAA, big developers who work in these big office buildings with big networks and big systems and all that kind of stuff had to go home and couldn't work, all the indie developers that already work at home just kind of got to keep doing what they were doing.
Right.
And so I hope when we look back on 2021, as opposed to saying, yeah, it was the year that COVID kind of destroyed all the game releases, that we look at it as the year that all these indie games got a chance because they weren't having to compete nearly as much with and all the big guys.
Can we discuss real quick that the thing about the Future Game Show, the Future Game Show was all of the stuff that we wanted to see for 2 days. When we're talking about these indie games, we're not talking about, you know, some stick figures and some hand-drawn stuff. There's some really good stuff in here that is the E3 of old.
Yeah.
That we, like, this morning we were grumpy. If you heard the show from this morning, we were really, really upset because it didn't feel like E3. This was E3 all the way around. Like, there's stuff that's like, we're watching and we're like, okay, we gotta play that.
Yeah.
We gotta play this. Oh, crap. We really gotta play that. Like, that's exactly what I wanted. And that's what this show was.
Yeah. And it was both fun to watch because it was well presented, but it was fun to watch because the games look fun. And that, at the end of the day, is the most important thing, right? If your games look fun, it's going to make the whole thing more enjoyable. And it's at least a decent chunk of gameplay, not gameplay and everything. They had a lot of titles. They move through them really fast. But you get a sense of what you're getting into in a lot of these games, of what the gameplay is going to be like. So we'll mention a few of them. I'll start with Game Deck, which I was really expecting to be a card builder and wasn't that interested initially. And then it turned out not to be that at all. It's this isometric cyberpunk detective game.
Yep.
Which is like three words that I'm all into, right? Isometric cyberpunk detective. I'm sold.
Just think virtual reality, lots of different virtual environments. Very, very, very cool.
Very, very cool. So that one I'm super excited about. I believe that's this year. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I think that one's this year. A couple of other ones. There was one called Backbone, which is like a 2D detective thing, too. The detective theme is kind of popular this year. I've seen several detective
things. I'm good with that.
Yeah, it's not a terrible thing. This one's set in Vancouver after something bad happens, and it's a dystopia wasteland kind of thing. But it's got a heavy platforming thing. The guy was running across rooftops and that kind of stuff, but a cool 2D style. There was Beacon Pines, which is a kind of cute, charming, Stardew Valley-ish something kind of thing, which is also a really big theme this year.
You know, we talked about all the games and all the hours that I put into, you know, these AAA games. Those Stardew Valley games like that, those are the ones that get you. And I don't even, if you actually looked to see, minus your pause time while you're working, how many hours you put into those types of games, you probably put the AAA hours into types of games.
I've definitely put AAA hours into Stardew Valley. Like 100%. I play it on my phone still, you know, like it's, I've got a, you know, my fourth or fifth farm I'm working on at this point on my phone. I really, really love these games in part. And I think even more so for the current moment we're in. And one of the reasons I think Animal Crossing was so successful last year, Animal Crossing is a big game anyway, that need to be during a pandemic, but because it happened during a pandemic when everybody very much wanted an escape from like real world darkness, a really happy game that doesn't have any kind of consequence to doing anything wrong. It's really nice every once in a while, just to kind of, you know, like, I'm just going to burn some time in this and it's going to make me feel good, which is the whole premise of the, what you call it, the happy game show,
the wholesome
game show. I can't think of wholesome. That was the whole premise there, right? Like, there's a whole 75 games they showed off in that thing of just like happy games. Like, these are going to cheer you up kind of games.
And see, the thing about that is, if you weren't sitting here, I wouldn't have watched that, because it's like, I can't take it. Like,
By the end of that, it was like, man, happiness is kind of getting under my skin. Let's fire up some cyberpunk, you know? Like,
something was wanted. Yeah. Like, let's kill fucking
nothing has exploded in a while.
They were really happy.
They were really happy.
They're like three people that you would, like, okay, we keep talking about childhood, but you and I both went to various different camps when we were kids. We went to various Christian camps when we were kids. And these are three people that you would find at said camps.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I'm talking about three people that have never done a bad thing in their life. You keep picking up a glass. I have a glass also right here. You can take a guess what's in it. A
little less wholesome.
We're still wholesome.
Wholesome enough.
We're just not those people. So that's what that show was. And by the end of it, you're like, holy cow.
Yeah, I need a break from the wholesome. So we went to find Capcom and Resident Evil or whatever right after that to cleanse our palate. So we'll get to that more so here in just a little. A couple more games from the future game show. Several more games. There's just a ton that was great in this. Esports Boxing Club. Not one that I thought we were going to be talking about, but actually looked kind of cool. Like, you don't get many boxing games out there.
Let me ask you something.
Yep.
I'm a massive fight fan.
Yeah.
I have been my whole life. And I offhandedly sent you a text about hot boxing with Mike Tyson, the podcast. Because I'm thoroughly and completely captivated by Mike Tyson and everything Mike Tyson does, and I've just always loved boxing. Do you feel that same way?
Definitely not to the level you do. I'm not trying to take a dig here. I'm a few years younger than you are,
yes.
And I think boxing hit its heyday a few years before I would have been into it, right?
Right.
Like, I think there's not many things that our couple of years difference makes a difference, but I think this is one of those things where, like, Mike Tyson, Holyfield, all that kind of stuff, I remember it, but I was just a little too young to really be into it.
I'm the guy that watched all the fights. I'm the guy that watched Foreman. I'm the guy that watched Mike. I'm that guy. And I've always loved the heavyweight division. Now we don't have a heavyweight division, and it's depressing. And I've been really, I don't listen to other podcasts, and I'm like cherry picking this one because I'm only listening to different episodes. Like, I listen to one episode with Michael Buffer, and I listen to another episode with Jim Gray, which is fabulous, which I told you to listen to. You probably didn't, but you really need to. it's amazing if you like sports, but the whole boxing thing is very much a 90s thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there are really fight fans out there now. If you didn't grow up when I grew up, you're probably not into it.
Yeah, for sure.
And so
something like a boxing game feels like it has a narrow appeal because of that, because it's probably not going to hit, you know, kind of, again, 40 and under, really.
Yeah.
That's kind of the dividing line at this point, right? Yeah. And so, but the physics look good. It has both modern boxers and it has, you know, all the boxers from the past. And so you can play as Muhammad Ali.
Right.
You can play, I don't know, I didn't see Mike Tyson in there. I don't know that Tyson licenses himself away.
I don't know that he has to.
Because it's not even Mike Tyson Punch-Out anymore, right? Like, they had to replace him in Punch-Out, whatever. So I don't know all the details there. But anyway, it does have people you know that you're familiar with, and it has current boxers in it as well, which are names I know because I tangentially follow sports. And so, you know, you get to see Canelo or whatever. I can't tell you anything about them. Right. I don't know who they are, really. But I know names. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard that name. Word association. You know? That's great. So that looked cool. Red Solstice 2. Let me mention something about this before we talk about the game itself. This is an ongoing theme of this E3 just for us personally, is that there's a bunch of sequels that were like, that's a second? Where's the first game in this series? Like, how did they make a second game? I never heard. Red Solstice, I'm sure there's a bunch of people out that love the first game. I don't have any recollection of Red Solstice as a game. But it's like XCOM, except not... it's in real time, mostly real time. If you're playing single player, it looks like you could slow down time to give like people orders or whatever. Right. But it's also 8-player co-op. And obviously you're not slowing down time often in an 8-player co-op game. And so it's like XCOM, this kind of tactical thing with lots of mutants invading.
I made some sort of snarky comment about that. I didn't want to play that. And then I saw it.
Right.
And I was like, wow, okay, yeah, I'll play this.
This one looks like a really fun one. Again, if you have a group of people you play video games with, like, it would be a fun one to play with people you know.
Think League of Legends or something like that. It's a similar type.
But not competitive against another team. It's right. PvE, and yeah, which looks cool. Like, by all means, we could get into that for sure. Then, a game that has popped up a couple of different times in a couple of different places that's just fascinating, and we don't really get it all yet because they're being purposely vague about what you actually do in this game. It's called Lake. The protagonist is a woman who was living in New York or something like that, the city. And then she moves back to her small hometown to become a postal worker. And so you play as the postal worker driving around delivering mail and like getting to know the residents of this town, some that like you grew up with, others that are new to the town since you live there or whatever. And it's very like, they're like, and things happen. What happens after 2 weeks? You get to decide. Like, it's very purposely vague about whatever the thing is that is the conflict in the game, because everything about it so far is just kind of happy go lucky kind of thing. And obviously that's not what the whole game's going to be, but it has, you mentioned this, a very Life is Strange vibe to it.
Does
it's very reminiscent of Life is Strange, and so you're kind of like, does somebody have superpowers? Like, what's going to go on here?
Or somebody going to get murdered?
Yeah.
And like, I don't, and it's absolutely compelling. And also, I did not mention this, we've seen the trailer, we've seen information about it about 3 times, and each time I see it, I immediately think that it would be an awesome place for a Cliff Clavin drop-in. Like, seriously, if you're in the Sears, just have Cliff Clavin drop right into the mill. I would love that if he'd just be hanging around.
Passing him on the street or whatever.
I just love it. Yeah.
Or if there's a bar. That would be the best, right? Yeah. Like, you go to the bar after work and there's Cliff.
And Norm's like, yeah, right there. Yeah, we're old. We know.
That would be a great little Easter egg.
That'd yeah. Be really fun. That'd be awesome.
That game feels like it's going to be a thing. It's getting a lot of hype out of E3. It comes out September 1st. Again, that's not very far away. And
that is one I can guarantee we'll play.
Yeah. It's coming to PC and Xbox, but only Xbox on the console side of things, which is, you know, interesting there. But we'll play it on PC because that's where we play indie games for the most part. So let's see what else. Severed Steel. That was a fun one. You are missing an arm, and it's like a shooter that's really fast paced, and you only have one arm.
It's kind of got a bold aspect to it. And
lots of craziness, very frantic.
Can I say that there are so many of these games that I know I don't have the twitchiness to play, but they look so cool.
Yeah.
They really do. They look so cool. I think the problem with E3 to this point, like we complained this morning, then we saw these games, and I'm going, okay, why didn't you just show us these?
Right.
Like, forget everything else that's not done and not ready. Show us these.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I wanted.
Yeah. It's both. We've been talking about the COVID thing a lot, and that's totally fair. It's also the first E3 after new hardware came out. And we haven't really talked about that yet because it's weird because it's this new hardware.
We gotta bring this up because it's driving you insane.
Every time. I think we talked about it on a show already. But every time that they're like, this plays on next gen and current gen consoles, right? And it's no. The current gen is PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, whatever.
We're on next gen. There is no next gen.
We are on current gen and previous gen. And to give Troy Baker and Laura Bailey credit, they were using all generations. I think it's the terminology they were using or something like all current generations instead of next gen, which was whatever. But that said, there is a lull after new hardware comes out, typically of game releases, because like there's a bunch of developers that haven't been working with the new hardware yet. Of course, there's some that are. But you get that kind of heavy first party stuff, and then you know your EAs and UBs and that kind of thing, and that console switchover, and then like the next year is when it's like now we're just talking software, right? 2 years ago at E3, it was the software E3, the last real E3 we had. We loved, right? It was the best E3 because it was just software. That was the one with Sony, or maybe it was even the year before. I mean, I think it was whatever it was. The one with Sony.
The Last of Us 2.
Where Sony did Ghost of Tsushima, The Last of Us 2, and then two other games I remember off the top of my God of
Days
War.
Days Gone. And
maybe Days Gone. Yeah, I think that was the four. That they just like highlighted these titles and did it really well and gave you gameplay and gave you a bunch of depth to each one of them. We're like, yes, that's great. Like, just show us games. Right now, there's not games to show us. Like, Starfield is what Xbox is talking about, right? It's a big deal. They've got Bethesda. Bethesda's next big RPG is Starfield. Not Elder Scrolls, not Fallout. Starfield is the next big single-player thing that Bethesda's putting out. They don't have anything to show us on it, though. Really obvious. It showed us a little teaser trailer, this little pre-rendered thing that doesn't show us anything about the gameplay and really shows us very little about the world just inside a spaceship, right? And then they put out another video we watched earlier that's concept art. Like, what they're putting out to the public right now is concept art. Good. They've got nothing to show us on this game. Yeah. Like, that's the problem. There's just nothing to show us on stuff that's in the works because it's this weird point.
Can we run the Obsidian trailer? Is that possible?
We can at some point. Yeah.
It really just explains the entire thing.
Yes.
I'll
look at pulling that up here today because it's brilliant. Even if you don't see it, if you hear it, you get the sense of it for sure.
I mean, we're old. And they're not pointing at us, but basically, we're all adults here, right? If you got nothing, just tell us you got nothing.
Yeah.
And be done with it. Like, don't try to like, ooh, look, here's something new, and put out a trailer of concept art. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But what
Todd Howard has been doing since the press conference is giving interviews where he's talking about what Starfield is. We know that it is going to be first person or third person, like Skyrim or Fallout. That's the same thing that Bethesda does. They're talking about it as this hardcore RPG, very much in the line. He said at one point that it's Elder Scrolls in space, that's their approach they're taking to it. Deep character customization. He was quoted as saying it's a Han Solo simulator. Which, my goodness, if you had said at the press conference it's a Han Solo simulator, like, I would have been like, cool. I would have much rather Todd Howard just come out and talk in front of the concept art, you know, on the background about what the game is instead of showing us a trailer that doesn't tell us anything about it.
I don't think people understand that if Todd comes out and just starts talking and they have concept art, They can solve this thing by 2030. We don't care.
Yeah.
Just talk to us about it.
The problem is the last time that Todd came out and just talked like that was Fallout 76, right? Like, he came out and just like laid it on thick about Fallout 76. And then Fallout 76 was what it was. And here we are, you know? So they were probably like, Todd, the one thing we can't do is have you just go out there and talk about this game. Cause then everybody's going to go, oh, the game sucks. Cause they sent Todd out to talk about it. Right. So maybe it was fair, but I personally would have loved that.
He's sitting there going, come on, please. Come on. Let me, come on. Come on. I just, like, I'm at the point that if you don't have anything, then just tell me you don't have any. And that's the thing with the Future Game Show, is they showed what they have, and it's so well put together.
Yeah.
That I was okay with that. Like, the ones that weren't ready, it's very obvious they weren't ready, but they were like, here's what we got.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. And that's a perfectly fine place to be. There's nothing wrong with being in that position. But it is what it is. We're going to try this. This technology may fail completely here in a second. So if this is just a complete failure, our apologies. But we'll see if it works.
Drop it in.
I could drop it in, but that takes editing. We're definitely not doing that. And so it's just going to be a failure, or it's going to be cool. And so we'll see what happens here. So if you are listening on the podcast, you might, here in a second, hear the audio from this trailer, which is honestly all you need, because you can build the rest of it in your head. It's brilliant. But go find it on YouTube. If you're watching the video on the Patreon page, you'll get to see it. Maybe. Probably not. This is going to be a massive failure. But we're going to try it anyway. So I know the video is going to work. And so we've got video. That's the good news. Let's see if we've got sound here. We've got sound. OBS does not have sound. Hold on just a second. Let me see if I can fix that. Talk about something entertaining while I try to fix this.
So here's the thing. This trailer is so good that I'm going to stall while he tries to fix it, because that's how good this trailer is. And it basically encapsulates this year's E3 in a nutshell. And that's why I feel like if we're going to create video content, this trailer has to be involved at least four times in the next 2 days, because it really explains what E3 is about. And I also have to mention that we thought, if you're listening, we're way into the 4K screens now.
Yeah.
So if you want to send us a 4K screen, please do. Because let me just tell the story. You told me to stall, so now
you're doing a good job. I got it fixed. Okay, but go ahead. By all means.
So we have, my parents would freak out if they saw us, because we are camped out in my living room in my house, in front of a TV that me and my brother bought for Christmas for like 2 years ago. It's 4K. Screen, 120 hertz, whole ball of wax, and we've been watching all the E3 stuff on it and playing games on it, and we're like sold. The only thing is that you have a 3-year-old and I'm broke.
Right.
So now we're trying to figure out, how do we get a 4K screen?
Yeah.
So let me just say this to wrap up the stall that I've done for the last 2 minutes. Let me just say this. If you want to sponsor this show, we will take your money. We will read whatever you tell us to read. We won't tell you that it'll be good, but we'll read it. And then seriously, if you want to sponsor this show, we want a sponsor, because we need more money to pay for crap. And what we need, it's two really big 4K screens, and we'll talk more about that later.
Yeah.
This is the end of the stall. If you would like to sponsor this show, it's gamingunsensored@gmail.com.
All right, here we go. Let's see if this actually works after the stall. Aha, so far so good.
By hearing fantastic, a wise-sounding voice, and we see a quiet, peaceful setting. This will make our game seem big and important. Now, something must break the serenity. Will this creature be in the game? No. Say goodbye to it forever. Suddenly, and for no reason, people running. These pointless slow-motion shots make everything seem cool and should bolster pre-sale numbers.
That
wah sound can mean only one thing. We must gaze over an epic shot of the world, and there should be lens flares. Now we see our hero.
but only their silhouette, because the developers haven't finished the design, or finished the story, or finished any gameplay that's actually ready to show. In fact, the only thing they have finished is the title.
Okay, now that you've seen that, now that I know it's recorded, now that you've seen that, we're just going to have about a 15-minute discussion about that trailer, because we've seen it four times, and it makes us laugh out loud every time, because that's what E3 is this year.
It's so true.
Like, that's what it is.
To the point, and I wish I remembered what game it was. We were watching, I think it was the Future Game Show. We were sitting at the table eating pizza, watching the Future Game Show. There was some trailer, just had the like cinematic thing, and started zooming out. And I went, whoa! And literally a second later, there it comes. It's clear as day. That nice deep synth, whoa! Like, it's so predictable. It just was spot on. That's what a lot of E3 has been. And I love the fact that Obsidian did that in the first place, because it's just brilliant. I love the fact it was in the Xbox show that led with Starfield, that they did essentially that, you know? Like, it wasn't that, but it was pretty close to that. Because they have nothing. They don't have anything to show.
And they're like, yo, we got nothing. But we're going to tell you we got nothing.
And in the meantime, we'll announce a game. We're working on the Outer Worlds too. Not a surprise. We would have figured they would have been. But it was a great way to announce the game, and super funny. So
I have to say, and we said this all the time, and we don't get around to interviews very well. But if anybody from Obsidian wants to talk to us at any time of night, we don't care. 8 a.m. We don't care.
Yeah.
We'll get up. Somebody from Obsidian wants to talk to the show. Let us know, gamingonsense@gmail.com, because we want to talk to you. You are our favorite people. It's not even close.
Yeah. By the way, while you're looking up Obsidian trailers, go look at the one for Grounded as well. That was in the Xbox conference too. Also very, very entertaining. Like, they just have good writers. It's hilarious.
They're just great. They're awesome, and they understand what their job is. And I think part of the reason they're so good is because they, up until the Outer Worlds came out, they didn't have any money. They were the company that did Fallout.
Yeah.
There was a company that did New Vegas, and that was it. And now they're a big deal, and they know where they came from.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. Moving on with Future Game Show to hit a handful of other ones really quickly. We got some time still. Starmancer, speaking of Stardew Valley-ish games, this is Stardew Valley-ish. In fact, it's being put out by Chucklefish, which was for a long time the publisher of Stardew Valley. I think something changed there where they're not, but they are, but it's like on certain platforms, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Starmancer is coming from Chucklefish and is like you live on a space station, but kind of the same sim thing that Stardew Valley is. And that sounds really cool, actually. That sounds like a blast.
So, I'm way into space. And I think you're way into space. And just basically, you can put anything into space. And it could be a game that we've seen before, like Stardew Valley. We don't care because it's in space. That's how I feel about this.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen that game. Like, we've seen it four times this year already. I'll play this one because it's in space.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But can I tell you the other reason why I'm more excited about this one than some of the other ones? It's 2D. And for whatever reason, I want a Stardew Valley kind of game to be a two-dimensional game, not a 3D. There's plenty of the 3D ones out there, too. That's more maybe a la Animal Crossing. Maybe is better to compare to 3D ones right. To Animal Crossing than to Stardew Valley. But these, you know, you farm, you gather things, you meet people, like that kind of gameplay thing. I enjoy more the 2D version of it than the 3D version of it. I put a ton of time into Animal Crossing. It's not like I don't enjoy that too.
You have a 3-year-old, so you know.
The 3-year-old really enjoyed Animal Crossing. There's just something about that 2D kind of top-down old school vibe that feels like a Super Nintendo game. That's just nostalgic to me, and I'll play basically anything compelling that looks that way.
I wish you talk about something that I wish I had time for. Like, I could sink 1,000 hours into Stardew Valley, not just reviews.
Yeah.
because it's one of those perpetual games. You said earlier that you're on your, like, fourth farm. Like, it never ends.
Yeah.
Like, you're constantly working on something.
And if you're on the PC community, the mod community on PC is pretty strong for Stardew Valley, which is awesome.
It'd be like Skyrim. It sucked me in and I'd never get out.
Yeah.
So
I just am, like, right now going, why am I not playing Stardew Valley on PC right now with all the mods? I'm going to start a new one when I get home.
Yeah, see?
So. There you go. We saw this whole showcase from publisher Team 17. But one game I want to point out from this, because it looks amazing, is Honey, I Joined a Cult. Which is done, but it looks like by the same people that did The Escapist. It has a very similar kind of visual style to The Escapist. And Team 17 did that too. And so I imagine it's the same people that worked on it. I don't know, like, exactly what you do in that game, because it was in a montage, so it went by pretty fast. I don't really care. Like, the idea of, like, you're a cult leader is just amazing.
I really feel like of all the jobs that I could do really well, I think I'd be an awesome cult leader.
Yeah.
But I really do. I feel like I could do that.
I think you could pull it off. I don't think it's for me, but I like the idea of, like, playing that in a game, you know, like escapism.
I've got the sunglasses over there.
Oh, yeah, like, I forgot the sunglasses.
I could be that guy.
Yeah.
I could do that.
That's fair. Yeah.
I think I'm afraid I would like it too much, but I could do that.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Next up, we're going to talk about a game we saw, I think, several years ago, at least 2 or 3 years ago at this point, Harold Halibut, which is this super cool visual game because it's all done in a stop motion style. Turns out it's not actually being done all in stop motion. They're actually making physical models of all the characters and places and all that stuff in the game. But then they're using motion capture to apply to the 3D scans of the, like, claymation figures or whatever. And so it's not exactly stop motion, but it looks like stop motion with these clay figures. And it's just visually stunning, like, just really, really cool looking as a game. And then, like, the gameplay and the premise behind it actually sounds pretty cool, too.
It's totally awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. And they're another one of those people that's like, yeah, we're not done
yet.
Which I'm totally cool with.
I can't imagine how long that game's taken to make.
And I didn't want you to think I was ignoring you. I was totally listening, but I had this glass in my hand. It has stuff in it that smells really good. and it's really easy to get distracted, when you're on the air.
It just
smells really good. you gotta get used to it.
Yeah. We need bourbon scented candles. That would be great. I would do some of that.
That'd be awesome.
But like you said, Harold Halibut, the release date on it is soon-ish. Which is probably not for another 2 years, I would have guessed.
Well, and that, you know what? I'm going to say it again. Because they admit it, and because we can see what they're trying to do, fine.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll wait for this game. Whenever you get it to me, I'm going to play it. One I hadn't thought to talk about, because it wasn't one we were necessarily looking forward to, but it's just the next one on the list here. I'll mention it really quick. It's called Happy Game. It's not happy.
No, it's not.
It is a very twisted LCD trip of a LCD, LSD trip of a game. LSD trip of a game, maybe too. But just a weird, trippy, strange something. But there's a demo for it right now if you want to go try it.
Which we probably should. We
probably should.
Like, this is the only time we're going to be in the house without kids and parents. And
it's not one for the kids because it kind of has this aesthetic that would pull a kid in and it'd give them nightmares.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if Sweet Tooth was developing a game, it would be this.
Yeah. For sure. I realized I skipped over Sonic. We got to talk about Sonic for just a second. So Sonic, of all things, showed up in the future game show they're doing. Sonic Colors Ultimate, which is the remaster of Sonic Colors, which looks fantastic. We just missed this before, but it looks really good. It's the kind of hybrid 2D, 3D Sonic thing. The 3D Sonics just don't interest us. We grew up on 2D Sonic and so 3D Sonic. But this feels both nostalgic and new and really pretty and fast gameplay and everything that we want from Sonic. It looks really, really good.
So I can't stand up. There's a lot of things that I can't do when I'm like out of this chair. And you've seen that because we have a nice lady helping us this week. And it's really, like, I feel really bad because she comes in, like, 2-hour blocks. I only need her for, like, 15 minutes. And then she's, like, sitting around because I need her to do a couple things. And then I don't. And she's sitting around going, don't you need me to do something? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, she sat on the couch and watched the Happy Game Show with us.
But the point is that Sonic is one of those games that when I saw it, if I could stand up and like moonwalk across the floor, I think I probably would have.
Yeah.
Because it's that good. Like you see it and you're like, well, like seriously, in 45 seconds, here was my thought. It was, oh crap, here's another 3D Sonic, here we go again. And then 5 seconds later, it was like, oh shit, that was 3D! That's awesome! That's exactly what I thought, like, because it just shifts.
Yeah.
It's like Mario a couple of years ago when they did the thing where it goes from 2D to 3D and back again. And I if I could like stand up and move, I probably would have applauded.
Yeah. I am able to stand up, and we watched that during my at least hour where my watch told me I hadn't moved. So I didn't get to the point of standing up during that time. But I get your point. It is exciting. A good Sonic game is a good Sonic game. And that's something that, again, from our childhood, is super nostalgic. Sonic was a blast when we were kids. Like Sonic and Knuckles with a little flip-up thing and whatever. Like, that was super cool. Like, it was so fun. And it hasn't been that way for a long time. This is a Sonic game I definitely play. And it's on every platform because obviously Sega doesn't have a platform right now. And so it's like on Nintendo Switch, which just, again, is really weird to my like 12-year-old self. But
and,
awesome.
And we keep talking about the time that we don't have and being able to play through games. I can say, knowing you the way that I do, you will play this one from start to finish if you get it picked up.
Yeah.
If you get it picked up, it will go from start to finish. And I'm praying that if that happens, that the entire thing streams because I want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm totally digging a new Sonic that looks good. Again, it's not even new Sonic, but remastered Sonic that looks good. So. Project Ferocious. This one's interesting for a couple reasons. You mentioned Turok when we saw it. It's a shooter with dinosaurs. And so it has a very Turok feel for sure. It's also one dude doing it. This guy named Leo, who's developing this game in his house, apparently. And it's gorgeous. It's just visually maybe the prettiest thing we saw in this whole conference, which is a conference of indie games that are, you know, stylized and 2D and all that kind of stuff. This is like 3D shooter with weather effects and like water and all this stuff. And it's this one dude.
This is really funny. And you guys will notice I'm looking all kinds of different directions right now. I have a camera on me and there's a fly buzzing around my head. And I'm trying to ignore it, but you can literally, this camera is so good, you can literally see it buzzing around my head. So please excuse me.
We've been dealing with really just two flies because we killed one of them.
Right.
And then his buddy got pissed at us for killing the one. And it's now bothering us.
So back to this guy. If I could make a prediction, and when I make a prediction, I feel like, and you don't watch basketball, so you probably won't get this, but I feel like Charles Barkley, whatever Charles Barkley says, you can take the opposite right. to the bank. Like, if Charles says somebody's going to win, you bet the opposite, and you're probably going to make a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm like Charles, only less successful. But I really think this guy is going to make a whole lot of money.
Yeah. I hope so. He's obviously doing the work. It looks really, really good. I don't know if it's going to be fun to play, but visually it looks really, really good. And just God bless him for that.
Like, yeah.
Do the work, man. Somebody better hire him up. Like, he's going to be a thing.
Because,
so.
I mean, that takes, like, the thing about all of this and the reason we try and cover all of it is because all of these people, even the Wholesome Game people, work really hard. And we work really hard, but we don't work hard on this level.
Yeah.
Like, we work really hard. We take pride in the fact that we work really hard. But these people work like 90-hour weeks hard.
Yeah.
And some of them don't ever make a dime. And so we feel like we got to talk about it because they're really doing amazing work.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. One more we'll mention from the future game show, but there's a billion more in here too, just like the PC game show. And so if this stuff kind of interests you, go check out the whole show because you'll see a lot more other good stuff. But this one's called Conway, Disappearance at Dahlia View. It's another detective game. This is set in 1950s England. And you're in charge of figuring out this mystery of what happened at Dahlia View, whatever. Again, very kind of stylized, has this almost noir feel to it. Very cool looking game. Just see the flat is like, oh, y'all are doing the podcast, huh? This is my moment. It really likes you.
Yeah.
It comes over here every once in a while, but man, he's kind of just camped over there at this point. So.
You know what it is? It's the grease from the pizza.
That's fair.
That's what it is.
Yeah. We've literally eaten two meals in the last 2 days, and they were pizza.
Yeah. And the word they were so good, we're actually thinking about getting another pizza because we really don't want to leave the house.
No, there's no reason.
We had 2 days left, and we really don't want to leave the house.
We got to make the most of it. So that was the future game show, which, again, like I said, I think you think so, too. Was the best thing of E3. Sans Nintendo, we'll see what Nintendo does tomorrow.
If you only have time for one show from E3, this is your show.
Yeah, especially if you're not like overly into Battlefield or Halo. Like if those kind of get, if like shooters aren't your thing, this is going to bring you much more joy than Ubisoft is, than Microsoft is. Square was weird. Capcom sucked. We probably won't talk about Capcom because there was nothing to it.
It's awful.
It was just nothing there. And so like this one was fun. It was well done. It was cool looking games. It was, this is the one so far. I'd say watch that. It's at least the second best show of the conference. We'll see what Nintendo does.
And look, everybody talks about Troy Baker. Troy Baker is literally everywhere. He talks to every podcast except us. But I will tell you that Troy and for the life of me, I can't remember the lady's name.
Laura.
They're the two best hosts this year.
Yeah.
It's not close.
Yeah.
But
get them, like, whatever big publisher for next year, like, hire those people on. And, like, was it last year? Whenever they showed the Avengers game, they had, what's his name? Oh my goodness, why am I blanking on his name? The other big video game voice actor guy that did Nathan Drake and whatever.
I can't.
You know who I'm talking about.
We're drinking. Right. Sorry.
That's Iron Man in the Avengers game. And then Troy Baker is Thor. Is that right?
I think
so, I don't know. Yeah. They had the big voice cast and they had them all there together, like talking at the.
But seriously, you could hire these two for every voice call. I wouldn't care.
So, like, if you're Sony, you know, like Troy Baker does half your games. Like, get Troy Baker up there. He's way more compelling than any of your executives or whoever. You know, like, it just is. Yeah, this is professionally what they do. They're good at it. And so it just makes sense for them to be doing something like this.
I think here's what I want to do. And it'll never happen, but this is on the Gaming on bucket list. I want the production people from Obsidian to do some production for us. And I want... Somehow, I want to get Troy Baker involved in this show, whether it's just weird voices or whatever. I want production for Obsidian. I want Troy Baker, and Laura can come too because she's fabulous. I just feel like if that happens, we can quit and we can be at because they're just so good.
If you're tired of us, Jamie just told you how to get us to quit.
Yeah. Seriously, just get us some production from the Obsidian people and get us Troy and Laura.
There we go.
We will. We'll quit.
We'll be done. Really quickly, just to wrap up here, we'll talk about the Wholesome Direct for just a moment. Not really any specific games to pick out. There were 75 of them. It was so hard to pick out any specific games. I'll mention we saw Skatebird again, which we saw last year before, which is a skating game, except you're a bird. But it looks really cool and has some cool kind of accessibility friendliness to it, which looks great. Just some like common sense stuff. Like it was just a little clip of the developer going, other skate games, you press, you know, one button to ollie and a different button to grind. And we thought, why not just use the same button? Just jump in and hit the same button again to grind. Like, duh. That makes sense, you know?
Handicap guy right here, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, it just was great. It was like, why make this more complicated? It needs to be, like, make it fun. So, that's cool. Like,
when we played video games, controllers had two buttons.
Yeah.
And they were fine. Okay? Like, you don't have to put 18 buttons. You really don't.
Yeah. You can multitask with the buttons. That's totally viable. So, anyway, that was fun. There were about 20 different Stardew Valley / Animal Crossing type games in that. If that's your world, you can find one that is the aesthetic you like because they came in every 2D, 3D aesthetic that you can imagine. So if you want something chill, go check out the Wholesome Direct.
So your wife grew up in what I would consider a wholesome environment.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And because of that, you were kind of graduated into the wholesome kind of thing. You didn't start out there, but because of her family, you kind of graduated.
Sure.
I was that same guy. I grew up into the wholesome environment.
Really quickly, the sexy sidekick couldn't watch The Simpsons when she was growing up.
I couldn't either.
Yeah, that's...
I had to go to other people's houses to watch The Simpsons, okay?
I was watching Hellraiser when I was like 6.
Right.
That was, my environment wasn't the wholesome environment.
Right.
But yeah, y'all had that a much different way, for sure.
So we lived in that wholesome... I still live there.
Yeah, right.
We're sitting here. If my parents saw this, like there would be people at my door wondering what was in this glass and what's going on.
Smooth, man. I like it.
So, my point is that I grew up in it. It's all I know. And this was too much for me. This show was, it was just...
It was exhausting by the end of it. It was, I'm really glad this exists. I'm really glad that, like, that community exists. And I'm going to go to their website. Because I need one of these games every once in a while. You know, like, I need one of these wholesome titles that's going to scratch that certain itch that's not going to be Cyberpunk. I mean, I'm playing Cyberpunk right now. And I love it. It is a dark game. It is really, really messed up. And sometimes you need a game to counteract that, just kind of make you feel good about life again.
I love that we're doing what we're doing, and then occasionally you get a text and it's a picture with your kid on it. that's the contrast that you and I are sitting here drinking playing video games with varying amounts of blood and your kids on a horse.
Right. Riding ponies.
That's the thing that we're dealing with is that.
And it could be both and. It doesn't have to be either or. You don't have to just like gory, mature games or just wholesome kiddie games. There's a place to have those worlds collide. And I really appreciate that because I think I'm right in the middle of where those worlds collide. I like games for both of those worlds. And the wholesome direct thing gives me an outlet for that. Could have done with it being 15 or 20 minutes shorter. Because again, by the end of it, you're like, I need to strangle something. This is too happy.
In our case, we're like, I looked up and I was like, it's after 5. we need to start drinking because I feel like that we've had too much.
Yes.
So yeah, just be aware of that when you start watching that it's a lot.
You may want to break it up into a couple of viewings.
it's a lot.
Could drive you nuts by the end of it. But I'm glad it exists.
Yeah, very glad it exists. And I wonder how many churches have it on their list of these are the games that you're allowed to play.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. So, yeah, but I'm glad it's there. I'm glad we saw it. I don't ever want to see it again. And honestly, I have to say that we woke up grumpy this morning. We saw Microsoft, it was bad. We saw PC Game Show, it was meh. Now we've seen this stuff, and it's like, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
And I finally feel like in the span of 6 hours, we went from, it's not E3 to, okay, yeah, this will work. This is E3.
Yeah. And we got Nintendo to come. We can hope and pray Nintendo delivers. By all expectations right now, I mean, we kind of think we know what we're going to get, but if we get what we think we're going to get, it should be a good show.
It should be a really good show.
If we don't get Zelda or Metroid, then I don't know what we're doing.
People are going to be talking compared to what's out there, because I don't care what anybody says, whether you're getting paid to do this or not. If Nintendo brings it, they win.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. We will tell you that we're not going to do any more video today because we're going to drink more
and play games.
And I don't need to be on camera with more alcohol. I think I'm talking about the wholesome side of things. I think I have a guilty tick going on because every time we turn that camera on, my eyes start watering.
Yeah.
You see me like working with my eyes because I don't know where my eyes should start watering. And so I think I'm like guilty that somebody's going to see this. Like they're going to come beat down my door, even though I'm 42 freaking years old. I'm not doing anything wrong. So we're going to play games for the better part of the next couple of days. And we're really excited about that because we figured out how to give you good quality video with good sounding voiceovers from us, which will be hilarious.
Yeah.
And after another glass of this, we're both going to be in a real good mood.
We figured out how to do a good video. I don't know that the voice quality is going to be great, but it'll be fun. And it's going to be easy. After all the work we've done setting this stuff up, we're just looking for something easy.
Yeah,
but it's going to be easy.
Like, seriously, I say again, if you want to sponsor the show, we'll take your money. And if you want video from us, we'll do video. But this is a serious pain in the butt.
Yeah, it takes work.
Like, it does take work.
Yeah.
And like, if you give us money, we'll do whatever you tell us to do.
Yep.
But it does take work.
Yep.
So if you would like to sponsor the show, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And if you want to know what we're going to spend your money on, I can tell you right now, we need 2 4K screens. Duff, I want you to hear it. Okay, we're sold. We're done. That's it. We just have to find the cash.
Yep.
All right? So yeah, if you want to sponsor the show, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, we will take your money. We will work with you. I used to be really picky about what was on our website and in our bios and stuff. Yeah, now I don't care.
Yeah.
We'll totally take your money. GamingUncensored@gmail.com. You can support us on Patreon. If you just won the lottery and you're looking for a place to give your money, Patreon would be that place.
Yeah.
We would love to have you over there. There's going to be more video content in the state that it's in. It doesn't get any better than this. Like, this is it.
Hey,
like,
we're happy. We've made it work.
Right? So yeah, you definitely need to go over there because we'll have more stuff.
Yep.
We always do, we haven't talked about it, but we always do an E3 roundtable about a week after E3. So that will be part of the Patreon as well. If you join Patreon right now, you can get in on that.
Yeah,
get in on sure. The E3 roundtable. It's the coolest thing that we do. I would definitely recommend that because we got a lot of cool guys that pop in over there. So definitely check that out. We still want your input on Facebook, Twitter, where else?
Voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. 509-GAME-210.
You go by GamingUncensored.com. You can find all that stuff there.
And I think at the end of these shows, I don't know why I'm giving all this information because you have a handy dandy like thing that you're putting up.
Yeah, it's only going on video. So if you're listening, if you're watching the video, like it's all like right there. there's all the contact information right there. So talk to us right there. Just yeah. Notice how awkward that was pointing at you. I apologize.
I really.
But that's where it is. But yeah, you can find us GamingUncensored.com and get to everything else from there.
And we're having a good time. And we have several hours left in the evening.
We are about to fire up Ratchet and Clank. That's yes. The next thing on the docket with pretty 4K screen, true next gen title, current gen title. Damn it, Jamie.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, man.
You did it.
Current gen title, PlayStation 5 game. And if all goes well, you could find that video on YouTube or somewhere else soon and hear our voices on it.
Yeah.
Hear our reactions. We haven't fired it up at all. And so you'll hear our first impressions and everything from there.
Let me just tell you that this complete mess that you just got is after one glass. And we have a whole bottle, and we have ice cream.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's probably going to get a little messy.
We're two middle-aged dudes about to have a good night.
Yeah. So, look
bourbon, forward. Ice cream, video games, and an early bedtime.
Yes, that is correct, sir. For right now, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. This is Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2021. It's E4, covered by two idiots, and we are out.